Hello and warm welcome to Animal Voices. My name is Alyssa. I'm here with Tim today.
Hello.
Friday, April 11th it is. Thanks so much for joining us. We're broadcasting live from the studio at Vancouver Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM CFRO. If you've been listening to Co-op Radio at all this week, you know it's our spring member drive. So we're just asking you to consider how much you value community radio. First, we want to acknowledge this land that we're on now is unceded territories of three Coast Salish nations. And so it is that time. It is spring member drive o'clock. And if you value community radio, non-commercial radio, then it's time to become a member or renew your membership. It is that time. We ask you just twice a year, humbly and gratefully, for your generous support in any amount. If you value the voices you hear on the airwaves, like those on Animal Voices, that you can't hear anywhere else, then become a member. So many volunteers put so much love and time and sweat into creating engaging and diverse shows, and we are definitely members of your community, speaking and singing our passions and struggles, and we ask you to join us now. Become a part of Co-op Radio. So it's coopradio.org, coopradio.org, where you can become a member, and or call 604-684-8494. And membership is, I think the standard is about $60 a year or $5 a month, but you can really pay anything. That's so cool. We have a really special show for you today. So, what is that sound? It is snack time. It is snack time for over 100 rescued pigs. Tim and I had a chance to visit a pig sanctuary in Washington recently, and we were throwing barrels and buckets of carrots out to these very happy rescued pigs. And today we're taking you to visit Pigs Peace Sanctuary. We've recorded our visit, and we're really excited to share the highlights with you today. And in the second half of the show, we have Mark Pierschel. He is the filmmaker of a new feature documentary called Live and Let Live. You may have heard of it. I hope you've seen the trailer if you've been following Animal Voices at all. We have been promoting it for a while because we are getting really excited to screen it on Tuesday, April 15th.
That's next week.
So the film tells the stories of six individuals who decided to stop consuming animal products for different reasons. And yeah, there's some really interesting, fascinating stories. One is about a man who used to be a butcher who turned into a vegan chef. And there was another story of a couple who used to operate a farm, and then they just kind of made the connection and decided to convert it into a sanctuary for farmed animals. And it's beautiful. It's in Germany. So Mark is from Munster, Germany, and he's actually in Portland on a West Coast tour coming up to Vancouver on Tuesday, and we're going to talk to him in the second half of the show. Well, I just wanted to mention what's going on in Vancouver. We are very aware that there's news everywhere about cetaceans in captivity. It seems like there's so much momentum been building. We talked about it a bit on last week's show, and this week the big announcement that kind of exploded on the scene was that Mayor Gregor Robertson announced that he believes cetaceans held in captivity should be phased out at the Vancouver Aquarium. So that's pretty big. Our mayor doesn't think it's a good idea. He wasn't coming out and saying that he supports a referendum or that anything drastic should happen. He didn't he said it's up to the park board, really. But there's been CTV, CBC News, lots of other news outlets covering this issue. It's great to see the question being posed. Should cetaceans be in captivity? And people are really thinking about that now, and it's really in the mainstream. And I saw one really big, I think it was it CBC.ca, I think, did a survey to their to their fans, and winning by a large margin for the answer to that question was that they should keep them, keep some in captivity that are unreleasable into the wild, like so-called rescued cetaceans. That's, of course, very questionable. The sources of different animals, they say they're rescued, and other people, like No Whales in Captivity, the group says that they came from the cove in Japan, and that's where they were so-called rescued from. Anyway, I think I see more of sea pens for animals that are no longer available to survive in the wild, maybe rescued animals, and then transitioning into none at all. So anyway, exciting news this week, building momentum. Sounds like it'll be part of the elections come November this year in Vancouver. And I just wanted to quickly mention, Empty the Tanks Worldwide Action Day is May 24th. So it's a little ways away, but make sure to mark the calendar. There's going to be a huge demonstration at the Vancouver Aquarium there, inviting people to bring signs, show up at 11 a.m., and it will be totally family-friendly, face-painting, positive, peaceful demonstration, and probably the biggest one there yet, I am guessing.
So, yeah, as Alyssa mentioned already earlier, it's our spring member drive, and I just want to talk a bit about what that actually means. So if you're a regular listener to the station and to our show, you know that Co-op Radio is independent and member-owned, which means that we don't take any money from corporations. We want to stay independent. Everything here is volunteer work. What we do, like what we do at Animal Voices, but also the technicians, and there are many people who really donate a lot of their time to make this program possible. But we are also members ourselves, so we also pay a membership fee to make this bring this program here to you. And yeah, we really would appreciate your support a lot. Every show has to raise a certain amount per year. This is in the statutes of the radio station, and just to keep our running costs, to support our running costs. But maybe you've heard that we have to move this year because the building where we are in the downtown east side is getting renovated. So we are moving to a temporary location, and that costs also a lot of money. There are some good effects with that, like we might get some updates to our technical equipment, but it's a lot of work, and we really, really need your help this year especially. So, we would kindly ask you to donate, become a member. So when you make a donation, you automatically become a member of Co-op Radio, which is great because they're all great people here. And you can either donate, can do a one-time donation, or you can donate a monthly, any amount that you can afford is really great. We suggest whether it's like $5 a month or $10 a month, it's that would be really cool. So go to our website, cooperadio.org.
And, of course, all donations are tax deductible. Even if you just give $20 or whatever, we'll mail you a receipt for that. And we're at about $10,000, and that's one-third of the goal until the member drive ends, which is one more week. So we're one-third of the way, but one more week left, and we really need everyone's help to pitch in.
Please, when you make your donation, assign it to Animal Voices, because there's a sign where you ask to which show you want to donate, and it helps us if you assign it to us.
Great. So thanks and for your support so much. We really, really, really appreciate it. Now we're going to get into the show. We have a sanctuary to visit. So Pig's Peace Sanctuary, if you haven't heard of it, is 2 hours south of Vancouver, 1 hour north of Seattle, in between there in a rural area. And Tim and I had a chance to visit it last October. So it was a rainy fall day, and we were just heading back from a trip to Portland, which was awesome. It was Tim's first time in Portland. And we thought we'd stop off and say hi to the pigs. And so Pigs Peace is run by a woman named Judy. It's pretty much all her. She has a huge property and actually has about 190 pigs. And they're potbelly pigs, the smaller black ones, and like the big farmed, bred for farming pigs. And they live together and they get to choose how they live. And they have this amazing pasture. And I've only been to a couple sanctuaries in my life. And I must say, I was so impressed with this. It also has a vegan education center right on site. So it's a place of tranquility and happiness, and it's a nonprofit organization dedicated to providing a safe home for unwanted, abused, or neglected animals in need. And they're also committed to spreading the message of compassion and respect for all animals.
Here. Wow. Hi, babies. These are the three little ones are babies this past year. Aww. They were running loose in Seattle as little tiny babies. So I'll just say I made this as a covered walkway, and it was supposed to be a covered walkway because the pigs keep their barn meticulously clean where they sleep.
Yes.
And we moved to this location 11 years ago. I have never cleaned it once. I never will. Never will. I just keep adding hay to it. And all this hay out here has been moved out pig by pig, mouthful by mouthful, because it's supposed to be a walkway. It is not supposed to be a hay bed. And they have totally modified it how they wanted to modify it. And I would move the hay back, and they'd move the hay back out, and I'd move the hay back, and I lost. I gave up. It's their home. And I'll show you. They love this. There could be 50 pigs here sleeping. They like the open breezeway.
That's great.
So the side on this side is 150 of the healthier ones. And then we have a handicap group and a special needs group. And in here, you'll see, they eat their hay beds. Uh-huh. So they eat breakfast in bed, and breakfast is bed. Sanctuary's on 39 acres. This group have 34 acres. It's a square piece of property. It's all fenced for them. They have from one corner to the other, it's half meadow and pasture and half woods. There's trails in the woods, and on summer days there are pigs in the woods.
Wow.
So they decide where they go. They have, you can see where my horse is standing.
Yeah.
And then the sheep are on the other side. But in each of those houses, there could be, on each side, they're divided in half. There could be 20 pigs on each of those. I've got 7 of these little metal huts, which pigs love. And to me, those are hot in the summertime. They don't care. They love those. There's 7 of those. There's one under the tree. So they decide who they sleep with, where they sleep, when they sleep. And they have the big barn spot. So if they want a smaller environment for, you know, a smaller group, or do you want bigger community sleeping? Your choice. It's your life. So I try to create what would be natural for the actual species of the animal.
Yeah.
They have grazing, so they are out here all the time. Pigs on planet Earth live in community of other pigs, and pigs on planet Earth are busy 45% of their day getting food. They don't live in little pens eating, you know,
yeah,
food in one place. So
I think that's really important for people to know, because I think there's this idea that these kind of pigs are kind of bred to live just with humans and not independently, kind of, you know, like, and that they're so so far separated from wild pigs,
right,
like that they couldn't do on their own, or something. Like people have these ideas, right? Similar with like chickens or turkeys,
right.
And I think in some cases it might, like with the turkeys, it might even be true that they can't support themselves on if they are this overbred species. But it's really great to see that the pigs are out like that.
And people, I'll go places where they'll have cows or horses on their land and their pigs are in little pens. Mm-hmm. And I say, there's no reason the pigs just can't be out there.
Yeah.
Well, they'll ruin it. They'll ruin it. They'll ruin it. I said, no, they actually won't ruin it. There's 150 that live there. You don't see it's all rooted up.
Yeah.
In the summertime, that grass is taller than you are. I have to mow it. So I can't keep up and they can't keep up with it. Most of them out of the city of Seattle, living in alleyways, eating out of dumpsters. Mm. And it's difficult to find a home for colonies of cats. So I would often take colonies versus single individual ferals, because you can often place individual ferals. And the cats are very human shy. They have unlimited cat food and a whole cat room down here. But the loft was built specifically for the cats for those winter days when the sun comes out, and it's January, and the sun comes out, and it just feels so good to be in the sunshine.
How long have you been here on this property?
11 years. So the sanctuary started in 94 in Arlington on 6.5 acres. And I looked for property for over 4 years because we were growing. I had to keep the population down. Great place, but it was a private road with covenants. So at some point, the neighbors who were part of the covenants could actually have questioned that I had so many visitors coming and working a business. And so I was looking to move and couldn't tell real estate agents that I had pigs because they would literally show me garbage land. And I care about the land. I don't care about the house. I want to see the land and I want to see the barns. Because I can live in anything, but I care about these animals. And I found this for sale by owner. And I came here, and the guy liked me, and I walked the land. And as soon as I walked the land, pigs would love it here, pigs would love it here, pigs mm-hmm. would love it here. So I made him an offer, and he liked it. He liked me. He didn't know I was buying it for a sanctuary, so he likes me. We go to sign the papers, and I said, okay, but I got to tell you something. At the very end where he says he's going to sell it to me, my name won't be on the title. What? I said, well, a pig sanctuary is going to buy it. So at the place in Arlington, I owned it because I started it. I own the house and land. And then when I moved here, I will live with them. They won't live with me. It's their home. They will never be homeless. Never be homeless. So this is in their name, and they own it. They own the store. The sanctuary owns the store. The sanctuary is just big. This is pretty wild. But and it's all grown. It's grown. It was just an old farm. He had dairy. This used to be the milking parlor. So this, for a long time, when I first got this farm, this was a pig sleeping area, and I had it fenced off right here because it's a sloping ramp, and right this thing is in the middle of the room because in reality, there's a drain right here, under here, and I didn't know how do I deal with a two-level floor. And these where these holes are were where the bar stanchions were to lock your cows up. And the cows used to go over there, and then they'd walk in here and get locked up to be milked. This was early 1900s.
Wow.
It got changed.
I love it.
That's a great repurposing.
Right. The whole thing got changed. So here's the plan. You're going to need your hands, and you're going to be throwing carrots, and you're going to beat all these carrots, and you're going to start throwing them. And after you've thrown, and I want them all thrown out, they're like vegans at a potluck. And they want to be first in line, and they want all of it. Because we don't get a lot of good vegan potlucks. Start throwing.
That's the sound of over 100 happy pigs at Pigs Peace Sanctuary. We just want to interject.
That was really so, that takes me right back to our visit there. That was really so much fun. That was the, almost the best part of the visit, to feed all these pigs. And it was
a rainy day, and they were all hiding when we got there, and she was sad that she's like, oh, usually they're all out and you get to see them all. And then as we all started throwing the carrots, they just appeared from nowhere. They just came from all their little rain hiding spots, and it was amazing.
Yeah, and we were throwing only carrots, and we had to make sure that every pig would get some, so we had to throw them everywhere, and they were like really running for them. I think we have some pictures we will put up on our website.
And they eat really quality food. She says she doesn't take scraps or donations from, you know, kind of unwanted food from grocery stores. She really wants good quality food. She doesn't want the high pesticide laden scraps. So, that was really cool that she cares so much. Everything is just done so well there. Judy really, really cares, and it comes through.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're very smart. They're removed from humans in intelligence. Dogs are 13 removed. So a pig can go over here, watch me open a gate. Notice that over here it's the same lock in the same kind of gate, and then unlock it.
Wow.
And go from gate to gate and say, oh, they're all the same. And I actually had a pig that did that. And so that's learning on a lateral level. You saw how they all come running once they figured somebody else saw about the carrots.
Yeah.
So I had another example of how smart they are is Harley the pig. I would go feed like treats of popcorn, where I walk down over here to sprinkle the popcorn, and then I'll call the pigs. Harley saw me with the popcorn bag. He nonchalant, and he was with a group of pigs. So if he started running, they would all run. He started nonchalantly walking, like he was just walking, until he was out of sight behind bushes. Then he took off running, had all the popcorn to himself, and didn't tell anybody. That is intelligence. Hi, Pale Graham. Did you see that pig just went under that horse's belly? Everybody wants to be a sanctuary. And I get people constantly that come here and they want to be a sanctuary. And I said, you know what? We need more sanctuaries, but you better know what you're getting into.
Right.
I worked for 10 years working night shift. All my retirement went to the sanctuary. All my inheritance went to the sanctuary. People say, well, I'll get volunteers. I said, you'll have to tell me how you do that. Right. They said, I'm going to get funders. I'll get grants. I said, you're going to have to tell me how to do that. Mm-hmm. Because you think I haven't thought of all these things?
Right.
You got to know. And the work. You know, there aren't volunteers some days. You better, and you have a medical things, and you better know about fencing. You better know about animal, about the care of each species and each nutritional needs of each species, and fencing, and you know, lifespans, all of this stuff. Oh, thank you.
I know how crazy it is to travel.
Listening to Animal Voices on Co-op Radio. That was our visit to Pigs Peace Sanctuary. I hope you enjoyed that as much as we enjoyed going there, and we highly recommend everyone visit. It's not too far from Vancouver. It's just 2 hours south. A nice, pleasant drive on a weekend day. They're not quite open for visitors yet, but they say spring on their website, which is that's pigspeace.org, if you want to find out more about what they do there, how to visit, how to volunteer, and how to donate. Judy really needs help. It's really a community effort, but it's mostly just landing on her shoulders. Can you imagine 190 pigs in one place?
That's an insane amount of work.
If you've been to Seattle, you've probably visited Vegan Haven. It used to be called Sidecar for Pigs Peace. It's actually owned by the sanctuary. Last year, it doubled in size, and they have more freezers and fridge space and things that you can't find anywhere else. So make sure to make Vegan Haven a destination on your trip to Seattle. Oh, that's song was a song called Shady Grove by Tom Joad.
And I just want to say I wanted to apologize for the sound quality in parts of the clip that we've played. It was a really windy and stormy day, and it was a bit difficult to record outside, but I thought it was still great fun, and we only played you the highlights here on the show because of our limited airtime, and we will put out a longer recording on our website. So if you can't make it to Big Species yourself, then you can take an extended trip with the clip that we will put up for download.
This is a song called Intimidated by Silence by a Portland-based artist called Cars and Trains. And this is actually the music for the film Live and Let Live that we're very excited to be screening on Tuesday, April 15th at SFU Harbor Center, 7 p.m. I hope you're coming. It's by donation, $5 to $15, and we really hope to see you there. So, Mark Pierschel is the filmmaker of Live and Let Live, the new feature-length documentary. From butcher to vegan chef, from farm operator to sanctuary owner, this life-affirming and inspiring film tells the stories of six individuals who, for different reasons, stop consuming animal products. Live and Let Live examines our relationship with animals, the history of veganism, and the ethical, environmental, and health reasons that move people to go vegan. Based in Münster, Germany, Mark Pierschel joins us on the phone from Portland today to talk about his inspiration, process, and hopes for his new film. Thank you so much for joining us today, Mark.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
Our pleasure, very much.
Thanks for having us. We thought it would be wonderful to have you here on the show before we screen your film next week, and we are excited to meet you in person as well. And I saw your film already recently, and I really enjoyed it very much. I thought it was fantastic. Congratulations. I would like to know for our listeners, what inspired you to make this movie? Like, what was your vision, how to make it different from other vegan documentaries that are already out there?
Okay, yeah, sure. I wrote a book in 2010 in Germany, in German, called Vegan. It was just a basic introduction to veganism, and I was just collecting all sorts of information or experiences that I've collected over the past 10 years since I was a vegan, and just to help people who are thinking of going vegan make it easier for them. And while I was writing the book, I also had the idea to turn this into a documentary film, because I think film is much more accessible to a lot of people. And so we started shooting the film in 2011, and it was just a very small team, and most of the work I did by myself. And so I worked over the course of 3 years, and just whenever I had time to work on it, and we finished in 2013, and the world premiere was in November. What makes the film different? I think there hasn't been a documentary yet that focuses on veganism itself. I'm looking also at the history, and I'm looking at the various reasons why people choose to be vegan, so the ethical side, the environmental reasons, and also the health reasons. And I put this together into a film, hoping to produce a movie that would make people that don't know too much about the issue, to give them something like a tool to inform others and know more about veganism.
I notice, Mark, that you really don't wade into the subject matter. You start right away with animal activism with some people who rescue animals. That's an interesting way to start. And you start just by saying veganism right away. So it's not hidden, as I see kind of other films. They want to kind of bring you to it slowly and gently. It almost feels, in a way, to me, like almost like a vegan party or a celebration, that it's all very life-affirming. Can you talk just kind of about how you decided to frame it the way you did?
Yeah, I think there are plenty of documentaries already that show like cruel images of suffering of animals, slaughterhouse footage. I just wanted to, because I'm a sociologist, I was very interested in personal stories of people. And stories that we collected for the film, I think, are very life-affirming and very positive. And I think that a lot of people that will view the film will have a chance to identify with these stories, because, for example, the story of Aaron, who was a butcher, and he had a restaurant for French cuisine in Miami, and then he was serving veal and foie gras, and then one day he thought about it and just couldn't do it any longer, and closed down the restaurant, and now he has this restaurant, Portobello, in Portland, Oregon, that's all vegan Italian. It's like a story like this, or the story of Jan from Germany. He was he had this intensive dairy farm, and one day when he had to send the cows to slaughter, he just couldn't do it, and then he left the cows there and turned this into an animal sanctuary. And it's just really nice to meet all these people and hear their stories and to put them together for a film.
Oh, absolutely. And I, watching the film, I really got a good impression of meeting these people myself, in a way. How did you go about finding the people for your movie, and how did you... I've had the impression that you have a good mixture of, say, everyday vegans, so like people you could meet on the street, and experts on subject matters, and you have people from Europe there and people from North America, and so it seems you traveled quite a bit to make the movie. And I was wondering how you chose and found the people you made the movie about.
Well, we started the first interview we did was actually with Jan in Germany. He's running the sanctuary. And then in 2012, we did all the expert interviews in the U.S. with Gary Francione and Colin Campbell and Tom Regan and Melanie Joy. And we were just working. It was kind of a work in progress. I was just traveling, and I was looking for people that might be interesting for the film, and just through research we found, for example, Aaron Adams, or also Jack Lindquist, the track cyclist.
Right.
What's the feedback that you're receiving now? You've started to screen it. Are you surprised by what you're hearing? To me, it almost seems like a movie by vegans for vegans. What do non-vegans think about the film? Is it helping open their hearts and minds?
So far I only received positive feedback. I have to say that I think the audience are a lot of vegans there already. And since I don't have a big distribution company, it's hard to market the film to a wider audience. But so far, the feedback has been really positive. And I had a lot of people that were vegetarians saying that it helped them to understand the issue more and to think about their own lifestyle more, and to take the step towards a vegan lifestyle.
Excellent. I was wondering about the music in the film as well. Is it totally vegan music?
Yeah, it's by this vegan artist called Cars and Trains. It's just this one guy who's from Portland, Oregon, Tom, and his music fits really well with the overall vibe of the film, I think. And yeah, and I'm just really, really glad I found his music for the film.
Yeah, it really seems to fit really well, and I love knowing that he's a vegan musician as well.
Yeah.
So you're touring North America right now. Have you? I'm not sure. Have you toured Europe as well, or will you be touring there? And is there? Do you perceive a large, like, difference in the general perception of the movies in Europe and North America?
I screened a film in Germany around, I think, 25-30 times. Just all over Germany, with a Q&A after most of the time. I think veganism is growing really fast now in Germany. I'm really surprised by that myself. We've had, just a lot of vegan cookbooks have come out, and there's newspaper articles about it. There's TV shows, and we have this vegan supermarket chain now in Germany that's opening vegan supermarkets in all big cities, and it's growing really fast and had a lot of good response, a very good response to the film because of that, and more people are interested in veganism, and I don't know where it's going, but it's a good trend, I think.
That's really great to hear. I haven't been back in Germany in a while, but it makes me want to go.
Yeah.
Why do you think it's taking off there so much? I've heard that Berlin is the vegan capital of the world. Apparently, I guess, based on, the vegan grocery stores and probably restaurants per capita. Why do you think it's taking off there?
I think we've had a couple of like food scandals where we had like bad meat, or you had this horse, this scandal that there was horse meat and lasagna a couple of months ago, and just make people think what they're eating, and made them more aware of the issue. And I don't know, it's just become so easy with all these cookbooks and all the products everywhere. Even large supermarket chains now have a variety of vegan products, so it's become really easy. And with more restaurants, it's easier for people to go out and be social and be vegan at the same time. I think that really helped a lot.
And can you speak much about the animal activism in Germany? Are there many groups there working on different issues? Do you see regular like protests and campaigns and that kind of side of it?
Yeah, I think I can't really speak too much about in comparison with other countries, but there are certainly a lot of groups that are active, have certain campaigns going on, you know, against hunting, or all sorts of campaigns. I think they also benefit from that awareness, and they're growing really fast at the moment.
Awesome. I really liked in the film the chicken rescue in there, that like there's no scenes of like graphic violence, but they do go into a battery cage and you show an open rescue. Can you talk a bit about who was doing that action and what that was about?
It was by a group called Animal Equality. They are originally from Spain, but I think they're already in a lot of other countries now. And it was two activists, and it was a free-range farm, and they rescued six hens from the farm, and took them to a sanctuary where they now live a happy life, I think. And it was an open rescue. That means the people who rescued the two activists are unmasked. They reveal their identity, and they just want to point out that that it's not really illegal, and that these individuals need to be rescued from these conditions, and just to raise awareness about that.
Awesome, yeah. Animal Equality, I think I've seen them do they do some demos where they stand in a square and like hold dead animals. I think I've seen some of that. So powerful.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Was
there anything that surprised you in the making of the film? I know this isn't your first film. You had made a movie about a straight edge culture called Edge. How was the filmmaking for this different? Or did it go really smoothly? Or did you have, was it long and laborious?
It went really smooth. I'm always surprised that things seem to work out really well. On the tour we did for the film in May 2012, everything worked out really well. We got all the interviews we wanted, and we got to talk to all these people we wanted to talk to originally. So that went really well. And it took us a while to find people who were willing to do the open rescue in front of the camera. That took about a year to find the right people. But I think with Ria and Hendrik from Animal Equality, we found really very sympathetic people, and I'm glad it turned out that way it did.
Awesome. Was there any like consequences for them, or why was that so hard to find people?
You mean consequences regarding the footage?
Like why were people so reluctant, or why was it so hard to find someone to do an open rescue for the film?
There's not too many people that do that full-time. Mm-hmm. Most people do that besides their regular job. So I think it was regarding the consequences that from the film that were written, from them being publicly exposed and saying that they are doing this in their spare time. So, and with Ria and Hendrik, that's what they do full-time. They are full-time activists.
Oh, wow.
I just thought of a question. I know, film is actually why I am vegan today. I saw Earthlings, as many people did, a bunch of years ago. I'm curious about your story and your journey into veganism.
I actually got vegan through a documentary called Baraka. It's a documentary, different documentary, just portrays a lot of different cultures and things that go on in life. And there was a sequence about chicks on the beach and the sorting process of male and female chicks, and that really made me think more about the issue and had me look into more why vegetarianism really wasn't enough, and that veganism really wasn't a consequence to me.
Wow, interesting. Yeah, it's definitely not an animal rights film, and I haven't heard that one be quoted very much, but I do remember seeing it as a teenager, but I didn't make the connection then, though. But the seed was planted, for sure. What are your hopes for the film going forward? So you're finishing up this West Coast tour. What's next for Live and Let Live?
I'm still working on the DVD release. The DVD will be released on May 23rd, as well as the VOD. That just was a lot of work. I just finished a little special for the DVD. I visited everyone from the film, Aaron, Jack, Jan, Hendrik, Karin, and I just talked to them what happened over the past 2 years. And it's really interesting what's been going on. It's really interesting what happened to the animals that were portrayed in the film. And we got some good footage, and it's going to be on the DVD, as well as more interviews. We did really long interviews, sometimes 1 hour, and it was just really hard to reduce the footage to just a couple of minutes for the film. And I'm glad that I could put the footage on the DVD. So that's going to come out in May, and I'm hopefully going to be touring a little bit of Europe. But then I'm going to take a break from filmmaking, because it's been 3 years and it was a lot of work.
A well-deserved break. You earned it. That's awesome. I'm really excited about the DVD. Will it be for sale on your website soon?
Yeah, it's going to be for sale at letlivefilm.com, as well as available as a video on demand.
Oh, letlivefilm.com. Excellent. Oh, I wish you were bringing some with you. I know so many people who are eager to buy it, but we'll have to order in bulk, I guess. Yeah, that's really exciting. Do you have any? We just have like a couple minutes. Is there anything that I missed or that you want to add?
I can't think of anything. I just hope a lot of people come out to the screening, especially the one in Vancouver. Thanks so much for organizing this.
Oh, it's our pleasure, for sure. Yeah. Have you already done the screening in Portland?
No, it's on this Sunday.
Oh, awesome. So Sunday in Portland. And are you stopping in Seattle as well?
Yeah, Seattle on the 16th, I believe.
Seattle on the 16th. Awesome. So that's the day after Vancouver, Wednesday. The 16th. Awesome. That's great. Yeah, we have friends down there, so we'll make sure they attend for sure. Well, that about wraps up the time we have today. So thanks again. We'll meet you on Tuesday. We look forward to that. And we'll post more information about how to get the movie when it comes out.
And if you have questions to ask to Mark, and if you want to see this awesome movie, remember to come to the film screening that we are hosting on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, April the 15th.
This is Animal Voices, of course, and we want to thank our donors again. Thank you so much for supporting us today. We love you so much. You can check out our website, animalvoices.org. That's where all our past shows are, links, videos, and more. And we're on Facebook, Animal Voices Vancouver, Twitter, Animal Voices YVR. And we're going to leave you with a song called My Veganism by Soul. I learned that the background music for this track was made by Cars and Trains, which is the same musician that made the music for the film Live and Let Live. So Soul is a Portland-based rapper, a vegan, an artist, hip-hop artist from the Antipon label, and Cars and Trains, also from Portland, vegan. So this is double vegan music. It's like not too much. It's just the right amount of awesome. And tune in next week. It's going to be our Earth Day show. We have something very special lined up for you, so don't miss that one. Thanks for listening. And remember to be kind to the animals.
See you next week.
Dog colonies under threat. It's from condominiums. Let's do this. I never talk about how I'm a vegan, cause I recall how cats used to rub each other's nose in, and also what kind of shoes are those. All I know, I prefer a couple dogs to most human beings. Used to pick veins on my chicken legs, till I found out our hot dogs are made. Always treated like a personal choice, but changing your habits, there's little to defend those who have no voice. Shouts to Charlotte's Web and the pets we kept. R.I.P. to those who died in a cage, playing God. It's harder than you think. Ask anyone who's had a saltwater tank. And I don't get how pro-lifers wanna save a fetus, but I'll bash a cow's skull in and milk it till it bleeds. You drink pus and blood in your milk and take the food that I'm eating is strange. I've been vegetarian for 24 years, my bones don't break. It ain't your fault, your society is sick. It spawns the many forms of prejudice that you escape blame. Today we'll view all life on earth as the same. Take nothing to feeding pigs, you wouldn't need a dog. Even though pigs are smarter, I feel the same pain. I can't stand Peter videos of cows squirming on long conveyor belts. San Francisco Zoo was a depressing place, so cold. Throughout the animals, they're sad. Shouts to the Siberian tiger, Tatiana. Them all those dudes after they threw shit at her. Escaped a cage and wandered the grounds for half of an hour until she found them in the cafe. They ain't laughing in their graves. Everybody loved Jumbo the elephant, but he was trained with the barb razor spear. Kept in a cell for most of the day, was so depressed and angry, his trainer had to get him drunk to perform. Enough of a mankind though, your nature's brutal. Full of booms and busts and droughts, but we're supposed to be better than that. And our bodies were designed to eat meat, cause our intestines run 30 feet, and our teeth are a razor sharp. In our claws, our fingers evolve for picking fruit and building shit. Not trying to tell anyone how to live, but next time you eat an egg, think about a chicken's period. Not trying to be on a soapbox, but picture your dog or your cat in a slaughterhouse.
Grass grows through cracks, sidewalks out, recognizing.